It's time for the Cheap and Chad's Power Half Hour.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back to the best and only podcast that features our league of record. Chief, how you doing tonight?
Doing all right, Chaz. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm a little sad. We had a last minute cancellation of a special guest tonight. I'm more bummed because I then offered that slot to somebody else and that person turned me down. So I've had two people turn me down tonight. So it's like, you know, I guess people don't really want to be on the podcast.
I'm going to stay out of that one, especially the second person that turned you down there. I don't want to get involved in any domestic discord that may arise as a result of this podcast.
Well, you know,
I love everybody.
I love everybody too. I especially love the second guest, and I understand her point about how we probably should invite other people in the league onto the podcast first before the brand new person. But then the opportunity arose and I got turned down. So it's like, you know, that's not a, you know, it's the pot calling the kettle black a little bit.
Yeah. But anyway, just for tonight, it's just going to be the two of us again. Your favorite Chief and Chaz.
Yeah. Your favorite. Okay. So we had a whole thing lined up of like stuff we're going to talk to our guest about. And we don't have that anymore. So what should we talk about?
I guess maybe we could talk about we're about 2 weeks out from
officially,
the draft.
That's correct.
So I guess at what point right now are you in terms of your draft preparation? Have you done some of it, a lot of it, none of it? Where are you at right now?
So I've settled on my draft strategy. As I mentioned, I had a dream one night, and I woke up the next morning, and like the first thing I thought was like that's my strategy. I'm doing it. So I've got my strategy pegged down. I'm still rounding out the players that fit into that strategy. You know, obviously it's always going to be a play by ear thing. You know, once we get into the draft, and I'm, you know, depending on how things go, I may have to go to a plan B in certain areas in terms of the options. So I'm still trying to figure out. I mean, there's probably four players that I really, really like this year and I really want them. And I'm pretty much willing to pay anything for them. But I also need to be conscious because like if I pay anything for them, all of a sudden my whole strategy is going to go out the window. So
gotcha.
I won't know until the moment, you know, until we're in the moment of whether or not I'm going to stick to my strategy or I'm just going to kind of wing it because I want those four players. So I'm just kind of hoping those two, you know, circles line up well enough right for me to be able to have both.
And that's kind of the beauty of this league is that, you know, as opposed to a snake draft where you could look at it and say, oh, in round three, I'm going to select from these four or five guys and I like this guy the best, so I'll pick him if he's there in round three or round five. Like, you have a good idea of where it's going to go. For me, you know, I don't know that I'm going to have so much a strategy as I am going to kind of revert back to what I did in 2017, which is I'm going to select a couple of guys that are top tier or just under guys that I really like, and I'm going to get them and let the chips fall where they may for the rest of my roster.
Okay. Well, I hope that you and I don't have the same guys in mind.
Yeah, I hope not either. Yeah. Because then we're going to be pricing each other up. But yeah, I think last year I was, you know, I went into it targeting, you know, a number one running back, and I almost didn't really care who it was. And I ended up with Leonard Fournette, and that came back to bite me because I didn't really like Leonard Fournette, and it's because I felt he was injury prone, and look what happens.
Yeah.
So I think I'm probably going to revert back to what I did 2 years ago, pick out a couple guys who I'm very high on, towards the top and towards kind of the back end of the draft, maybe a couple guys that are, you know, like $4 or $5 player types who I might be willing to go like $8 or $9 on that I might, you know, kind of sleeper-ish type of guys. And then after that, just, you know, let the rest fall where it may at this point. Because I, trying to predict what's going to happen and you know, trying to kind of go to placing your hopes on how the draft is going to unfold, I think is a fool's errand. You just have to be able to react the best.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that, right? Because, I mean, last year was a great example, right? When I did my thing with taking the three running backs, I basically threw most people's plans out the window if they planned on getting a big-time running back, or at least I forced them to reevaluate what they're willing to spend on a guy.
Right.
You know, it's one of those things where you need to stay fluid when you're drafting, right? And you got to be careful, because if you get too locked in, and again, this is the benefit of our format. You don't have to get locked in on saying, you know, where it's a snake format and you're going, okay, I'm drafting, you know, at the ninth spot, so I can probably grab, you know, a running back and then a wide receiver, or a wide receiver then a running back. I mean, generally right now, when you're looking at snake drafts, people are basically in the top, there's like the top four running backs, right? You've got Zeke tech potentially, Saquon, Kamara, and McCaffrey. So right now, if you're in that like 5 to 7 spot in terms of a snake draft, that's like the worst spot, because like it's not high enough to where like you really want to like take like a DJ potentially, but it's still too low where it's like, you know, you're basically having to settle for a Hopkins or an Adams or a Julio type person. So that's like the purgatory area right now. So what's interesting for us is that we don't really have that issue. But we do,
right?
Because we are trying to figure out where people are going to go. And I think our format specifically, we know that auction mocks don't do crap, right? They don't help us
right
at all.
Auction mocks are not helpful.
And
no, not at all.
Even though we get the, like those lists, like the one that you sent out, those to me, like I look at that and I go, like I can immediately pinpoint guys. I'm going, this guy's going to go for way more than that. This person's going to go for less than that. You know, it's at least for our league, those things don't matter. So you could have a general range, right? Like we know Saquon's going to go for 55 plus unless he gets hurt in the preseason.
Right.
There's no doubt that's going to happen.
Right.
But what is that range? I would say if I had to guess for Saquon, it's going to be 62 to 67. That's my guess on how much he's going to go for.
I think there's a potential, and I texted this to Joe.
70?
I think this is the year we fought with somebody gets to $70. Yes, I that's a prediction I'm making. I think somebody, one of those running backs, probably either Saquon and or Kamara. I don't think McCaffrey would get there. But I do think Saquon or Kamara has a potential, depending on who's involved with the bidding. Like you, Chaz, depending on who's involved with the bidding, could get up to the high 60s, potentially to $70. One thing we have noticed in the last few years with this league is that people are, I think at any other point in the 10 years of this league, people are now more willing to spend money on top dollar players and spend a lot of money on top dollar players than they were at any other time in this draft. If I'm making an observation,
I agree with that. I personally can guarantee I would never spend $70 on a running back. I'm just not going to do that.
What's the difference between 65 and 70 though?
Honestly, if you're spending that much money, that's a lot. Right, that $5 is the difference between getting a second wide receiver that's like in the potentially $20 to $25 range versus the $15 range. Like for me, there's a gap there. That $5 ends up making a difference. You know, with my strategy last year, it didn't matter as long as I got all three people for under the. I think my max I could go was 186, 187. I think it was the max I could spend on
right.
those three. So it didn't matter to me the individual numbers. But this year, the strategy I'm planning, I can't spend that much because it'll completely throw everything else I want to do out of whack. And especially if I were to take a high end running back like that, all of a sudden, you know, the three or four players I like that I want to try and get, which are not high end intentionally, depending on when people go, I probably wouldn't necessarily have that room. You know, there are four mm-hmm. like mid level guys that I like. I don't want to spend top dollar for them. I'm hoping I don't have to. And that's going to leave me enough room in the budget for somebody. But if it's $70, I probably just won't be able to afford that.
I don't know. I don't know that I necessarily agree with that. I think when it comes to a high tier player like that, the difference between $65 and $70 to me is not that significant. If I believe that this player could be a league winner for me, that's kind of how I feel.
Right.
And I'm willing to spend, and I've shown I've been willing to spend that much money on players in the past. So that's kind of my guiding philosophy.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. You know, I'm sure you're probably not far off. I think somebody's going to be willing to spend that much money. I just know it's not going to be me, unless it's just like the perfect confluence. Unless it's the perfect confluence of events.
I smell a smoke screen. I smell a Chaz smoke screen here. You're going to be bidding up Saquon, you know.
Well, let's back up.
You're going to be going 65, said... then it's going to be 66, then Chaz is going to bid 68, and then it's going to be $70 for Chaz.
I never said once, I wasn't willing twice, to sold. Bid up players or bid on players in the high-end region. I never said that, but I personally can't see myself getting to that 70 mark and hitting bid and to make the bid 70. I just don't see it happening.
So how high are you going to be going on Chris Godwin then this year?
You know, I'm actually, this is actually one of the things I wanted to get to later, which was players that we feel are being overhyped. I personally mm-hmm. feel Godwin's hype is way too high. I
believe another smoke screen. Go ahead.
I believe he's going to take a giant step forward. I believe he will be mm-hmm. over 100 catches because as of...
If he's going to be over 100 catches, then he's not being overhyped for the amount of money he's going to be going for.
I actually believe that he's going to be more is going to be spent on him than needs to be. Right, last year he had 59 catches on 96 targets. There was 150 catches last year that have now vacated between Jackson and Humphreys and all the other players.
Right.
I believe he's going to get up above 100 catches. I just, for me, I think people are going to be bidding on him. I think Godwin's going to go high 30s. That's where I see him going. And to me, I'm not in on him in that price, even if he's over 100 catches.
That's interesting because I think the average draft value for Godwin when I looked the other day was like $12.
Yeah, that's not, I don't believe that.
You think he's going to end up going in the high 30s?
Yes.
I think he's going to be like
Robert
high.
Woods last year, where I think you're going to. I think there's a lot of people.
Robert,
that are
I got Robert Woods for $9 last year. Though.
Who am I thinking of? There's somebody I'm thinking of last year. Juju. It was Juju. Juju went for
Juju.
Like $32 somewhere in that range.
Mm-hmm.
And that was more than I was willing to spend on him. I believe he was going to take a big step forward.
But that paid off, though.
It did. Sure, but I'm not willing to spend. I'm trying to look at the players that I believe are up and coming that I can grab for cheaper. I'm mm-hmm. going to spend money on a handful of guys. I'm fine with doing that, but Godwin is just one of those guys where once he's going to get above, he's one of those players that once he gets above a certain number for me, I'm out. You're out.
Yeah. No, I'm that way with him too. I'm only willing to go so high on him, and then it's like, nope. I will pick another potential number two receiver.
Yep.
I'm with you there. But no, I think I've got a, like I said, I think I've got a general strategy on what I want to do. I need to research the back end guys a little more, which is the most tedious part of fantasy football prep work is mm-hmm. researching, like, who's going to be my number three receiver and what bench running backs am I going to target? You know, stupid things like that, which are essential to winning a league, but it's like throwing darts in some instances.
Okay. Well, let's throw some more darts. So let's talk mm-hmm. about some players. I'm going to throw some names out there and you tell me where you think they're going to go for. So let's start with Gurley. Where do you think Gurley is going to go?
I still think Gurley is going to go fairly high. I would say, just based on the last 2 years and name recognition and the fact that he is practicing and is on track to play, he will still go for about $45 to $50.
Okay.
At the very least.
That's where I was thinking he would go. What's interesting is, so right now on average, he's being drafted as the running back 10, for snake, mocks. If he were to get 52, if he were to able to achieve 52% of the running back points, that has been scored in LA over the past 2 years. So basically, if you took basically half his workload, for the past 2 years and halved it, and he was able to achieve just that or over, he actually ends up perfectly matching with how many points a running back 10 is expected to score. So for that reason,
I think the value is correct where he's going.
Exactly. Basically. Yeah. On that number that you gave.
At least in terms of like a snake draft.
Correct. But more so for the number that you, that 45 to 50 number is probably going to be that running back 8 to 10 in terms of money spent on running backs. And so I think your value there is right on. I was expecting you to say he's going to go for like, you know, 55 to 60. And that's where, for me, that was going to be too high. But
I mean, that could be possible. I mean, we can't predict the future of this draft. You know, let's say Gurley, you know, as we all know, the last guys of a tier tend to get bit up. What if Gurley is the last person of like that tier of that, like second tier of running backs, like beyond the top four, but like that middle,
DJ
like
Gurley,
right. That like that tier of running backs, like if he's the last one thrown out there, maybe he does go for closer to 60.
Yep.
Who knows?
Fair. Mm-hmm. Zeke.
Yeah, Zeke. And I guess we might as well go Zeke and Melvin Gordon at the same time.
Do you want to
do Zeke first?
I want to do Zeke first, and here's the reason why: is that I believe that Zeke will sign before the season starts.
Okay.
He might have a slow start, like Bell did a couple years ago, but Zeke contractually, there's no way he cannot play because he's a year behind Gordon.
Right.
And so he still needs to accrue another year before he's actually capable of being an unrestricted free agent. If he were to sit out this year, he still has to play again next year before he can go to get to free agency. It's different with Gordon because Gordon has an extra year under his belt. Gordon theoretically could sit out this year, he would be a restricted free agent, but the difference is that that would then force the Chargers either to sign him for a large contract or he goes to somewhere else for a large contract. Zeke doesn't even have that option this year. So I think for me, there's a key difference there. So I think it's potentially likely that Gordon sits out part of the year. But the other thing that scares me is that you only need to play 6 games to accrue for a year, I believe.
Right.
So the thing that scares me the most is that he or Zeke reports, plays their games, or maybe they don't report and they wait until week 10 and report for, you know, the 10 through 16 game.
Right.
And reports there. So that's what scares me, is that either of them could do that and that would potentially work for them legally. So that's what scares me about it. So I'm wondering, what is the cost risk analysis that's going to be baked into their pricing? Because for me, because of the uncertainty, if it's still not certain where Zeke or Gordon is by the time we draft, you know, does this put them on par with the Zeke a couple of years ago that I grabbed for, I think it was like $25 when we knew we had the suspension coming? I think it was 25. I mean, is 25 to 30? Is that reasonable to expect for those guys? Do you think it'd be more or less? I mean, that's a huge gamble on somebody's part.
It is. And so I think 25 probably feels about right. And, you know, like you said, like a few years ago when we knew that Zeke was likely going to miss 6 games, you know, that value was baked into that. So I think 20 to 25 feels about right to grab one of those guys. I really don't think people are going to be bidding them up. But if you are able to roster them and hang on to them, and you're able to tread, you know, stay above water for most of the year, and these guys do come back, you know, week 9 or 10, mm-hmm. and you can get in the playoffs with those guys at running back, and they come back near peak form, you know, you might have league winners on your hands. So, you know, that's the calculus you got to make.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm curious if someone's going to be up for trying to grab both of them at a discount. That's a tremendous
risk, because like you said, I think that there's a greater chance that Zeke plays than the Melvin Gordon plays. The Melvin Gordon situation could be dragging on for a while.
Yes, yeah. So. Right now, I would say I put Zeke at an 80% chance of playing, and I put Gordon at like a 40% chance. So I think Zeke is twice as more likely to play. But theoretically, let's say you grab both those guys for $50 combined. Let's say. Mm-hmm. You could theoretically go out and grab another big running back, right? Kamara, you know, a Saquon, and you could grab like a Hopkins or an Adams, right? And then that theoretically give you a big four, right? Whereas previously you could only get three, and you could have four major impact players with still probably $20 to $25 of the rest of your roster.
Well, you could also maybe look at it this way. If you're able to draft both Elliott and Gordon for $20 to $25 each, right? And you spend, let's say, a combined $50 on both of them. Mm-hmm. If just one of them comes back or starts the season,
yeah,
right?
It's the same you would have spent on one of them.
It's the same thing like you would have spent on one, it may be less.
Yep.
And then you have the chance that the other one also comes back. So if you look at it like that, you know, maybe it is worth the investment. I don't know. Personally, the prospect of spending $50 and then getting next to nothing from those guys, as you know, you so well know from drafting Le'Veon last year, is a very daunting prospect to be staring at.
I mean, it sank my season from the start.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about some other players that are in the news. So number one is on the same. Let's keep it to the Cowboys. Amari Cooper apparently is suffering from plantar fasciitis. That's a horrible thing to suffer from, because that's the kind of thing where, like, week to week, it could flare up on him and he could be fine one week, and then the next week he can't even play.
Yep.
So that's the reports that are coming out today. I'm curious if this continues through the season, because I think if that's the case, if it's still getting reported, I mean, I think his price is going to be suppressed.
For sure. And yeah, I don't know what they're going to do to try to treat it or manage it. I know that, you know, at least in basketball, I think people sometimes try to play through that.
Yep.
And so, you know, if it's the NFL and you're only playing once every Sunday for 4 hours, you know, maybe you just load yourself up on pain meds and deal with the pain during the week. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen and how much that's going to limit his effectiveness. We'll see.
Yeah. And then the other player to talk about is Antonio Brown, who is now reported back to camp. He lost a grievance. So if you remember last week, he was having this issue with a helmet. Yeah. So he had filed a grievance with the NFLPA to try and get his helmet approved. Because apparently the helmet that he used to wear is no longer made, and it failed like concussion tests and crash tests. So they were forcing him to switch to a new helmet, which I guess the way that the helmet fits him and then the way that the guard is on there, that like he doesn't have the same field of vision that he had before, which was really bothering him. So he tried to, I don't know if everybody knows about this, but he tried to sneak his old helmet into practice. He had it spray painted to look like the Raiders helmet, and the training staff had to take it away from him. So he's been going through some crazy shit. So just to try and get this helmet in, he filed the grievance. He lost the grievance. He said he would rejoin the team, but then he tweeted out like 3 days ago or 2 days ago asking if anybody had a 2010 or 2011 Air Shut Nike, whatever the hell the name of the helmet is that he liked, because the way the NFL works with the helmets is that it has a playing time of like 10 years. And so his helmet was from like 2007. So it's past the time that he could use it. But if he gets one that's 2011, which was like the last year they stopped making it, he theoretically could still use it for another season or two. So he tweeted out that he was looking for one of those and that he would trade a signed practice helmet for it. And apparently he got a bunch of offers and he's theoretically going to be going back to wearing his old helmet, which has failed, which has now failed the new concussion protocol, you know, the new CTE stuff that the league puts it through, its paces, has failed. But he still wants to wear that helmet. So just makes you wonder the kind of hits he's been taking over the years and, you know, whether or not that helmet failing has caused any long-term damage potentially.
And we won't know that till later in his life. I get where he's coming from with that, but what do you think about his value? Now that he is back at camp, he's, you know, getting closer to a return from his foot thing.
Assuming that he's healthy to play, my main concern with Brown is, number one, he doesn't have Ben Roethlisberger thrown to him. Ben had a tremendous arm. Derek Carr does not. Ben and he had this great connection where, like, they could just look at each other and they would they could look at each other and they would be able to they'd be able to know what play they're about to run, or like, you know, an audible of a play, and he would know where to go to and where to throw to. It takes time to develop that with a guy like Derek Carr with a relatively new quarterback. So my concern is that it's going to take him time to really get into a groove with Derek Carr at all, if at all. I think he's going to have a slow start, and I don't know if the volume is there. I mean, last year, their two highest receiving people was a running back and a tight end. So I don't know if it's going to work. And also, there's this whole other stat, which I think I brought up last year. There's this whole other stat about how wide receivers that change teams, if they're like a big-time receiver, typically don't do as well in that first year because they're learning a whole bunch of new stuff. So I don't know. For me, value-wise, if I had to guess, I would say he's going to go 30, 35, somewhere in there. That's where I feel like he should go. He probably ends up going for more because he's Antonio Brown. But, you know, if the foot stuff is potentially suppressing him a little bit, if he's still not fully healthy, you know, I don't know. I mean, that's kind of my gut of where he is. What do you think?
30 to 35 feels about right. I think your concerns about new quarterback, new offense are valid. Actually, I think 30 to 35 is low. I think he probably goes up in the 40, really? Or low 40 range. Wow, yeah. Okay. Just based on name recognition. I don't know that I'm going to be drafting him myself this year. So, spoiler alert, I'm probably staying away from Antonio Brown.
Yeah. I mean, right now I am. I think I'd rather have a guy like Tyrell Williams, personally.
For the value, probably, yeah.
You know, assuming he goes for under $12, if he's somewhere in that range, then I might take a flyer on him. But I don't know.
Who is the – it happens every draft, usually. Who is the player that – the maybe mid-tier player that is going to get irrationally drafted up way beyond their suggested price range?
I'm thinking back to the document that you sent out. So I guess I'm using that as the value. Is that what you're talking about? Referring to that?
That Joe sent out, not me.
Sorry, Joe sent out. The one I looked at that stood out to me immediately was, and we talked about him last week, was Nick Chubb. His value was, I think it was at like 32. He was, and to me that seemed really low. So I would guess that a guy like Nick Chubb is going to be up in the high 40s. That's a guy who I think is going to get bit up more than he should. Because keep in mind, yes, they traded Duke Johnson, but we talked about it last week. Kareem Hunt still there, and Kareem Hunt better talent than Nick Chubb. So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen there in the second half of the season. So that theoretically should suppress Nick Chubb's value, and it's probably also the reason why his value was showing up as 32, but I just Mm-hmm. I think people view Nick Chubb as like a tier two running back right now, like with DJ and Gurley, like up in that range. And I don't see him as that. I see him like a tier three, tier four, like a Dalvin Cook, Sonny Michel in that range. But my value could be off. Maybe I'm wrong.
My guy is David Montgomery.
Oh yeah, totally. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to get so bad up. Montgomery's going for a 35 minimum, if I had to guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
People are reading way too much into that.
And given the Bears contingent we have in this draft, David Montgomery. Yep.
Yeah.
He's going to be shooting up there. And especially if he's like the last guy of a certain tier. Watch out. You know, this could be like that year that Edelman and Beckham only went for like $2 apart from each other or something like that, whatever that was, like 2012 or 11.
Yeah.
Or not 2012, like 2015, I think that was.
Yeah, yeah.
That crazy draft.
Yep, totally agree.
Mm-hmm. Right. Who else you got, Chaz?
Not much, man. I mean, going up to see the family this weekend for Kat's mom is we're celebrating her 65th birthday. So we're going to be seeing family this weekend. What about you?
Happy birthday to Mrs. Clark.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. We'll pass along.
Mm-hmm. I will be going to visit Drew and his wife this weekend. They live about 3-ish hours away in the middle of Wisconsin, not really near Milwaukee. Unfortunately, I can't do a double dip. Yeah, I'm just going to go see them for the weekend. Haven't seen Drew in a while. So go catch up with him, see how he's doing.
And he, if I remember, didn't he like build his house? It's like a log cabin.
I don't think this one is the house that was built. No. But they built a cabin on a lake in northern Wisconsin. His family has a cabin on a lake, and they built that, I believe.
Cool.
That's what we were referring to.
What does he do for a living now?
He got his law degree, and I believe he's clerking for a judge in Wausau, Wisconsin.
Oh, neat.
So, yeah. He is in law.
Cool. All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, guys, it was fun. Hopefully next week we will have a special guest. Hopefully we'll get
some guests, yes.
Maybe we should have like a whole guest of Palooza. Maybe we should have like three or four people on.
I guess we should just bang them out one by one. Yeah. We're allegedly going to have a guest of Palooza after the draft. So
we are. Yep.
That's only 2 weeks away.
Yeah,
so
I'm gonna have to figure out a conference line, I guess, to make that work.
Yeah, yeah. And hopefully we'll crank out maybe let's shoot for at least two more episodes before the draft. I know, you know, maybe we do two next week and you know, or maybe two and one, two next week, one before the draft, and then one the week before the draft or something like that.
Yep, that would work for me.
Try to get a couple out here. All right.
All right. Well, and it looks like we are still not fully set in on what our division situation is going to be in rivals. So maybe by next week, we'll finally have that settled. Looks like people are.
Well, as usual, we have talked that out in circles, very efficiently. So let's get our votes in. Let's make a decision. People
works for me. All right. Well, next time, thanks everybody. And we'll see you next time on the Chief and Chaz Power Half Hour.